Dialing 8th and Walton. Conference call. Please wait while others join.
You're dialed in to the conference call, brought to you by 8th and Walton. The 8th and Walton Conference Call is a podcast for retailers, suppliers, and industry leaders to keep you up to date on what's going on in your industry. From what's happening around the world to what's happening across the street, this is one call with an agenda tailored specifically for you. Your call is starting, and now your host, Jared Davis.
Ah, it's another fun week here in the retail and supplier world, and we have a great conference call for you today. My name is Jared Davis, and I appreciate you dialing into the 8th and Walton Conference Call, spending a little time with us here in our podcast. Listen to what we have lined up for you coming up. Mr. Tim McCarthy, my old friend from Workplace Impact, is going to be visiting with us here in a few minutes. If you're not familiar with Workplace Impact, Tim is going to tell us all about putting that personal touch into marketing. In a world of digital and high tech and electronic, Tim has found fantastic success with this very captive audience of people at work and being able to market to them right where they are. It's fascinating, and we're excited that Tim's going to spend some time with us today. Also, oh man, this is a big treat. Mr. Bogdan Constantine with Manguin came in to tape a Focus on Suppliers broadcast, and we were able to snag him for a quick podcast interview. If you're not familiar with Manguin, this is absolutely incredible. If you ever order a tuxedo, have to go and rent a tuxedo, Manguin has put this whole process online, solved so many problems, and actually improved the entire tuxedo order business and made it much better for customers. So Bogdan has a fantastic story. We're going to find out about the development of Manguin and so many other fascinating things behind his concept. Okay, let's have some real fun. We're going to take an early look at the headlines because there's one story that I'm dying to talk about. You've probably heard a little bit about it, but if you haven't, I want you to go out to walmartnewsnow.com and look for Sears. For Sears. Did you read this article? I mean, it first came up in the Chicago Tribune. The CEO of Sears gave this interview, and it is absolutely incredible. Now, Sears has had some down times. They've gone through some stuff. They've been on a downward spiral. And normally, you would think somebody would make a public statement from the company, you know, talking about the big 3 to 5 year plan. Oh, no. If you haven't heard about this, listen, here's a direct quote from the CEO. He says, "The challenge for us is to demonstrate to the world that what we built is something that could stand up to the best competition that's out there." Well, I mean, yeah, if the best competition that was out there was Circuit City and Blockbuster Video, maybe, but the rest of this just starts to spiral further out of control. He then insists that Sears is ahead, and that's a quote, they are ahead of their rivals, JCPenney, Macy's, and Target, then goes on to blame the media for his inability to get Sears out of its downward spiral. And yes, I know there's a whole, hey, how original, a president blaming the media joke that I could do there, but I'm not going to do that. It's way too easy. And really, if I'm going to be honest with you, I've been struggling to come up with jokes about this for a couple of days. It is so bizarre on its own. He goes on to say, now, Emma, tell me if you think this makes any sense, okay? He says to the press, "You're looking at Sears all wrong. On the left, yes, we're closing stores. Yes, we're not making any money. But on the right, that's where we're going. That's where you need to focus." What kind of sense does that make? Emma, can just anybody be a CEO nowadays? I wonder if that logic would work for me and our boss. You think so, Emma? Hey, boss, I hope you're listening to the podcast today because you know what? My yearly evaluation is coming up. And you know, on the left, yes, I get to work late every day. And yes, I'm not capable of hitting any of my deadlines. But on the right, that's where you need to focus for my evaluation. That's where I want to be judged. Remember that last food day when I brought in that nice casserole? That's where your focus needs to be, boss. I'm just going to end it with this. Please, please go out to walmartnewsnow.com and read this article for yourself. Of everything that I have ever brought to you on this show, this story is the one I am most excited about following in 2017. Forget technology, forget new stores. I want to follow the Sears CEO giving more interviews. It would not have surprised me at all if in here he had said that he was winning and had Tiger's blood. It is incredible. Okay, you know what? We've got a fantastic show coming up next. My friend, Mr. Tim McCarthy, is going to sit down with us from WPI. This is the 8th and Walton Conference Call.
Are you a new supplier thinking of doing business with Walmart? Or have you just acquired the Walmart account and have questions about processes? 8th and Walton has a class tailored for suppliers new to doing business with Walmart. The Walmart Fundamentals class is the onboarding experience you need before going into that first meeting. Through Walmart Fundamentals, you'll learn the basics about Walmart, such as the supplier agreement, merchant roles, department numbers, Walmart terminology, and much more. We'll also cover the everyday expectations from retail math to using Excel efficiently. To find out about classes in Northwest Arkansas or the next national webinar, visit 8thandwalton.com and search for Retail Fundamentals in the course descriptions.
As I mentioned before, our special guest today is Mr. Tim McCarthy of Workplace Impact, WPI. How are you, sir?
I'm awesome, thanks.
I'm so happy to have you here on the podcast. I'm biased because I've written enough articles about WPI that I love you already. But for anyone out there that's not familiar with Workplace Impact, tell us about the company.
Infinitely simple is we deliver samples and incentives to consumers where they work instead of where they live.
So you're sort of the conduit between the business and this captive audience at work. I was wondering, what are examples of some of the clients and their businesses that you're able to help promote?
Generally, it's national clients that either have particular products they're introducing, either in particular regions, particular stores for testing, or openings that they're doing, and in some cases, we'll go systematically. What we've developed and continue is we develop relationships with key contacts at, it generally is around 1 million employers around the United States, any place in the USA, every nook and cranny of the USA. And what we do is basically invite them to a network, and the network is where you can get free stuff from the big advertisers, the big marketers. That's it.
Where was that aha moment where you became inspired to develop this company?
That's a fun thing to answer. The company was formed long before the concept was formed. And what happened was, of the many things that we did to market for our clients in local areas, the thing that worked best was when we went to an employer and said, hey, Would you like to get an offer that you can share with your people there, you know, from this client? Always their answer was, and this was back in the days that we were literally going door to door, was, what's the trick? How much you do? What do you want? You want us to pay? No. What's the trick? The trick is the client would like you guys to try their stuff. You know, that's the trick, because their store's right down the street, or the store you can get the M&M's ad or whatever is right down the street. So it's kind of a win-win-win. It's kind of a win for the marketer because they get people to try it near the place they want them to go. It's a win for the employer because it's a free benefit. Mm-hmm. It always has to be something unusual, something nice. We try to make sure to treat the employers well. And it's a heck of a win for us because we make good money doing what we do well.
In all the research that I've done about WPI, I've always wanted to ask you, in today's environment where marketing is a lot of digital and, you know, putting things out there and social media, WPI has this very personal touch where you're going in, you know, right into the place of business. Is that a hard sell for some clients?
Almost every client lately asked the question you just asked, and our answer is pretty consistent. There's two pieces to it. One is, trains didn't go away when airplanes came in. They're just used for a different purpose. And so I think you'll agree, because you're that kind of a guy, personal will always have its place. And we do find that even one of the things at the workplace, if we're on just the intranet or on just digital, it's too passive. You know, it's unlike, but if we show up in an inbox and it's something physical and it's a little bag of, you know, of a sample, a Tide Pod or a, you know, a free frappe at McDonald's or something with a certificate, you know, that really gets noticed, where we can be a little too. Now, the flip side answer is, tell us what you're trying to get done digitally, and we'll take it there through a message. So on our printed piece that might be in the inbox, it'll be something you can put your cellular phone over, and the app will upload because we have a Q code or an RFID or something like that. That's the second answer, is we want to get people to go to their digital or their social media or their website or whatever they're trying to do in the digital world. But back to the first answer, we're still going to do it in a highly personal way.
Do you have a favorite success story from one of the clients that you've been able to help?
Yeah, I mean, I just did it for our own concept right now. We have 22 now Raising Cane's Chicken Finger restaurants in another company of ours that's owned mainly by my son, but me and our other partner too. And so we did workplace impact for those stores. And because we don't discount, literally never, we love to sample and we do sample. And basically that was what the offer was. We crushed the stores. We had just thousands and thousands of people showing up, you know, with the offer that we distributed at the workplace. That was a fun, I mean, that's, I just got the goosebumps on that about a week or two ago when the first big report came in. Thanks for asking. That was fun to answer.
I got another fun one for you. You've got your pulse on, you know, marketing and having fun in the workplace. What are you looking forward to most in 2017 based on everything you've seen up to this point? And anything exciting that you're kind of keeping tabs on?
So fun to answer that one too. I think the next, and we've done this a lot over the last couple of years, but 17, I think it's going to be, 18 is really going to be the big growth. We're experiential. So the cool thing that everybody's looking for is word of mouth. Even through the social media or whatever, ultimately what they're after, right, is word of mouth. And that's, I guess it's called experiential. I'm too old to really know the right terms. But what's been happening is we have photo contests. So like when we distribute a certain type of card or a sample or whatever, we invite the people from that workplace to do something silly and upload it on social media to our website or to the social media, our place on Facebook or whatever. You'd be amazed how many people are doing that. You know, we had one woman take the cards that we had distributed, and before she distributed them, she made a dress out of them and took a picture of herself and then sent it to us. You know, it's just people have a lot of fun. And if you can make it fun, to your point and to your question, if you can make it fun at the office, that turns into experiential, which really makes our concept that much bigger.
Okay, so I'm a supplier, I'm a business, and I'm ready to take the next step. Where do I go to find out more information to partner with you?
WorkplaceImpact.com. That's simple. WorkplaceImpact.com. And we'd love to talk to you.
Tim, I love talking to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. It was a blast.
Hey, suppliers. Do you have questions about Retail Link? Would you like to know more about analytics and replenishment? Good news. You can get your retail questions answered fast with 8th and Walton Chat. Just log on to 8thandwalton.com and wait for the chat box to pop up. Our merchant advisors are standing by to help you right now. It's absolutely free. Chat with us today without the wait. 8thandwalton.com/chat.
We are back on the 8th and Walton conference call. Thank you again for subscribing to the podcast. Please tell a friend about us. I want to tell you that our friend, Mr. Bogdan Constantine of Mingwin, is going to join us here in just a few minutes. We had a great interview with him, so we're going to have Emma fire that up for us. Before we do that, let's get you in a really good mood with a couple of nice headlines. I wasn't kidding about that good mood. Let's start off with our friends at the National Retail Federation. They are reporting that retail sales actually increased in April, even though the sales increase was only 0.3%. We like up. Up is good. Plus, that number does not include automobiles, gas stations, and restaurants. So even though the increase is small, you may be wondering what's doing so well. The sales are being led by online purchases, consumer electronics stores, and home improvement outlets. The National Retail Federation goes on to say that on a 3-month moving average, retail sales have grown 2.6% year over year. Now, that online portion there that I just talked about leads a little bit into our next story. This is actually good news for brick and mortar. Have you noticed every day there's some news story about online sales that are soaring, online groceries taking off, mobile this, mobile that. But when you look at the big picture, according to the analyst, it's really not so bad for most brick and mortar stores. You've got digital companies like Amazon, Warby Parker. They're opening up brick and mortar locations because they still see the value. And while it is true that e-commerce is on an incline, the Census Bureau reports that online sales really account for less than 10% of total retail. And then there was an interesting point in the Harvard Business Review article recently. They pointed out something very fascinating. Seems like every 50 years, retail goes through some major disruption. They gave these great insights and examples. Like, remember, there's the rise of urban centers kind of led to department stores in the first place. And then when the automobile came along, it created suburbs and shopping malls. Then came the category killers and discount stores that were the big challenge. So brick and mortar retail overall, it's not really on the fast track to extinction. It is just going through a continuous transformation. And like always, the strong are going to survive. And then finally, every week we try to keep up with Amazon versus Walmart and see who's moving into whose territory. This has been absolutely fascinating. Well, Amazon made the last move. They lowered their free shipping minimum for non-Prime members on eligible items to $25. Merchandise is going to be delivered in 5 to 8 business days, and it's the second time this year that Amazon has made it a little easier for shoppers to qualify for free shipping. It was back in February, actually, that Amazon lowered its minimum order from $49 to $35 to qualify for free shipping, and now it's down to $25. Now, even though that's a good move by Amazon, Walmart has become very, very strategic in competing with Amazon. I mean, it was actually in January that Walmart introduced free 2-day shipping for orders over $35. And as of today, Amazon only offers 2-day free shipping to its Prime customers. I love this cage match between these two. We will definitely follow this in the future weeks. All right, that's enough of the headlines. It is time to get on to our guest, Mr. Bogdan Constantine from Mangwood. Emma, before you start this up, I actually need to apologize for this. Usually when we have a guest that comes in for our Focus on Suppliers TV show, I'm able to run in the studio, do a quick interview, or maybe we're in the green room and we're getting all made up and we talk for a little bit. When Bogdan Constantine came in and we were talking about Mangwood, it was a crazy day, and I was so excited to talk to him that right after he finished up with Focus on Suppliers, I said, "Have you got a minute?" And we walked into a little conference room. You could tell that we're not in the studio. There's a little bit of an echo. And when you hear this, you're going to swear that we did this interview in the men's room. I promise you, this was just in a little conference room. So I'm going to apologize for the little roomy echo behind it, but it was a fantastic talk, and you're going to love him. So here goes Bogdan Constantine from Mangwood. Emma, that is clip number 5, please. Clip number 5.
So with Mangwood, first of all, tell me about the name. I love the name Mangwood. How'd that come about?
That's a great question. So if you really think about it, what is the kind of the anecdote? What did you call a guy in a tuxedo?
A man in a penguin
yeah. suit, right? So we started with that mentality. We do online suit and tux rental, immediately realized, hey, man in a penguin suit, Mangwood, really, really lined up all together. And most importantly, I think for a new brand, it was an available domain name, so we could immediately go out and buy it. We weren't spending, you know, $50,000 to $100,000 buying something that someone else already owned, which made a lot of sense for a small, scrappy store.
Yeah, it's the image that sticks in your head, so it's excellent marketing.
That's exactly it.
For people not familiar, how does Mangwood work?
So we're an all-online suit and tuxedo rental company. Right now, if you're going to rent a suit or tux, and the primary use case is for weddings, that's kind of what our solution is tailored for. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you're going to rent a suit or tux for a wedding, you would spend about 2.5 hours in a regular store, and if you had any out-of-town groomsmen, which almost 90% of our customers do, you'd have a lot of issues. Like, how do I coordinate my groomsmen that's in Kansas City, my groomsmen that's in Chicago, all making sure that they're wearing exactly what they need to be wearing for my wedding in Northwest Arkansas, knowing that the right retailer might not be there? It's just a logistical nightmare. Mm-hmm. So Mangwood comes in and fixes all those things, gets that 2.5 hours down to under 10 minutes. The bride and groom will go, build their perfect look online. We've got suits, we've got tuxedos, variety of looks. Once you've built the perfect, say, groomsman look, no more, hey, go to the store, please order these 6 things and do not mess this up, because if you do, I won't know until the day of the wedding and we can't fix it. A lot of fear there. We actually just literally have them put the email of the person they'd like to wear next to that look, hit send invitation. The groomsman then gets a variety of emails because they're millennial men, 29 and 34, a variety of emails until they finally open one up and hit the big button that says accept my invitation. As soon as they do that, it puts what was built for them in their shopping cart. They cannot edit or delete their look. We call this groomsman proof. It's how nothing gets messed up for the bride and groom who are our core customer. And then the catch-all, instead of picking it up the day before the wedding in the store, like normal use case, we have 6 distribution facilities across the United States. We ship everything 10 to 12 days before. And then you're catching on, right? So if once I get something the next day, or 1 or 2 days later, if anything isn't to my liking, we've got 24/7 world-class, and I'm a little biased there, in-house customer service, and we'll immediately take care of whatever your problems are and get you whatever replacements you need fast at no cost to you. After your wedding, you had a great time. The last thing you want to do is worry about trudging that tux back to where it's from. You're just going to throw it in that box or the accompanying plastic bag from UPS. Put the included return label from UPS on there, schedule your pickup or drop-off at one of those drop-off boxes, and you're done. No more having to go to a store or worry about any of those kind of, you know, long wait times or dealing with, you know, commission salespeople trying to sell you turtlenecks, whatever it may be. We make it incredibly painless and cost-effective.
You know, we're talking about this millennial customer and sort of the environment we live in now. You spoke a lot about the sharing economy. Would you kind of educate us on the sharing economy and how you're catering to it?
Absolutely. So real quick, the sharing economy is essentially when I'm able to access resources that I wouldn't necessarily have access to because of financial means for specific or limited time periods in a way that behooves me. So I think the perfect example of this is Airbnb, right, or Uber. I'm able to rent someone's home or apartment for a business trip, vacation, etc., or have someone come and pick me up in a car I do not own and then drop me off wherever I need to go, all through technology and kind of a seamless customer experience. We do the same thing from on the garment side of things, right? We're able to give people access to high-quality suits and tuxes that would usually cost several $1,000s in a store and give them access to it at a fraction of that price for big life events because they don't necessarily... I don't need to buy a $2,000 tuxedo if I'm going to use it once a year, right? It makes a lot more sense for me to rent a tux from Menguin. Our prices start at about $90. Have a great time for the wedding or whatever I'm attending, whatever event, and then shipping it back. It makes a lot more sense. I'm able to leverage Menguin's existing infrastructure and inventory for my own personal needs without having to have the upfront cost. That's really what the sharing economy is. Making it easier for consumers to get what they want, when they want it, without any long-term commitments.
We have suppliers who are really trying to build up that online experience. It is all about that first experience when you go to purchase something online. What advice do you give them to grow their sales by making that online experience more fluid?
So I think something that a lot of retailers, ourselves included early on, kind of forget is you build this great product, or so you think, and I've got everything ready. It's right there what the customer needs. Oftentimes, you don't really know what's in the customer's mindset. So what we do is we try to interview as many customers as possible to figure out why they used us, why they stopped at particular points in our sales funnel, you know, what stopped them from clicking that buy button, etc. We try to really get in the mind of the consumer and design with their needs in mind. So often, I'm very guilty of this. I come in, I see the problem, I already have the solution. I haven't gotten any of the feedback from the customer, which is most important. I don't really know what's driving their decision and their buying patterns. I just think I know. But if you think about it, I'm not a groomsman. I'm not getting married. I'm already married, right? So I can't get myself into that same thought process without talking to people that are in there now. So getting user feedback is so crucial, especially as kind of the landscape shifts more to online, making sure that you are actually having the right solution and giving the customer the right bits of information they need at the right time. So almost all of our web traffic is mobile, right? So if you think about it, you know, what I can see on my phone, what I experience on my phone relative to what I experience on a desktop, right? But all the real estate I can really sell you on the product, the features, the benefits, is a completely different experience. I can't sell you or give you all the information you need on your mobile device. I just can't fit it on the screen. Yeah. So what I have to do is give you morsels that convince you or motivate you to go to the next page to learn more, to dive deeper. Okay, this is what I was looking for. This might be it, but I'm not quite sure. Okay, if I click this button, it'll take me to this step. And slowly I'm going to qualify you and qualify the product as being the right solution for your needs very slowly on your mobile device till you're almost clicking buy effortlessly without having to really think about it versus desktop, completely different experience. Mm-hmm. So making sure that you know where your customer is coming from and what they want to see on the device they're using to interact with your brand. That is crucial. And that's honestly been the biggest key to our success.
Yeah. All right, Bogdan Constantine, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you guys so much for having me.
And with that, we have completed another 8th and Walton conference call. Hey, this is Jared Davis reminding you, every office has that one person nobody else can stand. And if you can't think of who that is in your office, that means it's probably you.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of 8th and Walton or its management. If you have comments or suggestions about this program, contact us at jared@nathanwalton.com, 479-715-6700, or at nathanwalton.com. 8th and Walton, Inc. is in no way associated with or endorsed by Walmart Stores, Inc. or its affiliates. All references to Walmart Stores, Inc. as well as its affiliates, trademarks, and brands are used in accordance with the Fair Use Doctrine and are not intended to imply that 8th and Walton, Inc. is a Walmart Stores, Inc. vehicle for advertising or for any other commercial purpose.